It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Got a great show lined up for you today. Got a packed studio. Tony Colombo here with producer Quentin and professional fisherman Mike Marfell and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, great to see everybody. Got a great guest coming up. We're going to talk to Brandon Waddle. He is the founder and CEO of the Mountain Archery Fest, which is next weekend?
Yep.
Oh, my
gonna be
gosh.
Up at Campsville.
Yeah, that is crazy. We've been talking about these two really great archery events. So, you know, I would whatever one you're closest to, just pick one because it's going to be great.
They're both going to be outstanding events.
Yeah, R100 event, which we talked to the folks from the R100 last week, and we've got the Mountain Archery Fest both happening next weekend here in our area.
About really 15 cool. miles apart.
Yeah, right? Maybe hit them both if you can, right? You know? But just goes to show you the continued growth in that area, in the archery scene here in the St. Louis area, that we're attracting more and more of these events, and you guys there at Bluff City Outdoors, big reason for that, a big part.
Yeah, we reach out. We like these events in the area, and I said, you know, when we put the archery on, I said, we're going to reach out and see if we can't bring some of this stuff to the area.
Yeah,
Just for, you know, for the people.
Yep.
You know, it's just that simple.
And then just weird timing.
They ended up both the same weekend. You know, that was not by plan. You know?
Right. But still a great thing for the archery community in our area to have these two events coming up. So looking forward to that conversation with Brandon Waddle in just a few minutes. As I mentioned, Mike is in studio with us this week as well. And I'm going to start with a weird conversation because Mike brought in pretzels today.
Nice.
And he shared pretzels with everybody here at the radio station. And everybody loves pretzels. I'm a weirdo, and I am willing to admit this, that it's a problem, that my problem. I don't like pretzels.
Not even Gus's pretzels.
I don't like pretzels.
I get not liking rolled gold.
I think pretzels are gross.
That's weird.
Even when I was a heavy beer drinker, like at the bar with the salty snacks
right.
Like I just can't get into pretzels. So, and I know that that's a me thing, and I know that
yeah, you're in the minority.
Yeah, so, but it did make me start to think about your favorite boat snacks. And
oh,
do you have
easy.
Any while you're out on the water? Because I definitely have one. When you're out?
I got two.
When you're in the boat, what do you like to have with you, if anything?
A bag of bacon.
Okay.
I just fry up a bunch of bacon.
Yeah.
And then now that they're out, the first form protein sticks.
Yeah.
They can stay in there forever. They don't have to be cold.
Is that like a jerky kind of type?
Yeah, it's like a giant Slim Jim, but it doesn't have all the BS in it.
Right.
It's just 20 grams of protein.
Why not like bacon jerky? Why? What? You just got to go with the real stuff?
Yeah.
I
like bacon, man.
Oh, man, bacon. That's
I mean,
tough
same
to
thing. You throw it in the cooler. It's delicious, cold.
Amen. Yeah. Do you eat? Do you usually take a snack with you when you're
absolutely
when you're fishing?
Yeah. Those two and protein bars.
Yeah.
And then some kind of sugary something if I need a sugar. I usually don't eat that, though. That's just like an emergency.
Right.
And I used to do a bag of like cashews, too.
Yeah.
And I would hang those over my throttle. So I could eat them.
Oh, so they're right there?
So when I'm idling, when I'm going through a no-wake zone, I can just grab them and scarf down some of those.
Yeah.
And I will eat a dang banana in my boat. I'll take
my God.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
Mark,
I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Mark, maybe that's why he's having a bad year.
It's definitely
why he's having a bad year.
I haven't had a banana this year, so it's not a reason. We're going to get into that, too. This guy here is taking, after this last tournament, I am taking... The boat's going up for sale, and I'm going to remodel my house. I'm not fishing again until the fall.
Really?
I mean, I might go out fun fishing.
Yeah.
But this weekend was like getting kicked in the junk, and...
Oh, man.
All the success
I didn't
I
mean
had,
to touch a nerve with the banana joke.
No. You're not touching a nerve. I got really thick skin. In the past, when I had all my success, I shouldn't say I'm not.
No, yes, you have. My,
I've had
no,
some
you,
success.
Well, I'll pat you on the back. You've had a lot of success.
For a Anger half of the cowboy year. Hippie hillbilly from Illinois going down and kicking some butt in the Ozarks.
Yeah,
I did all right. But in those years, I was off every summer, all summer, to coach baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a mind reset, I think. And mm-hmm. I was really anxious to get after it in the fall. And since I've quit coaching baseball, I've been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, I'm going to sell this boat. I'm going to remodel the house, earn some bonus points with the family and the wife.
Yeah.
And
then refocus.
And then refocus in the fall and come out swinging hard.
Yeah.
I
love it.
I'm also going to be hitting the gym really hard between now and then, and I'm going to get back in shape because people don't realize it. But as hard as we work in the front of that boat, the more in shape you are, the more presentations you can make,
yeah.
the less tired you are.
Yeah.
That whole thing, I'm going to try to drop some weight, get back in shape. And I'm going to come out and kick somebody's teeth in the fall.
Yeah, that's I love that. And you're so right. Like, fishing is not, you know, it's not like track and field or anything.
No.
But just like anything else that you have to be physically focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, you're trying not to fall down on a platform that's moving under you all day long.
Yeah, if your body is out of shape and you're tired and you're not
back fit hurts.
Not, yeah,
yeah.
Like that can absolutely have a major effect on what you're doing.
If by 10:30 in the morning it feels like you got a knife between your shoulder blades,
yeah,
it's just going to be a struggle the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I've always prided myself on being able to outwork everybody, but I'm not 27 anymore.
Well, and now also. Man, my boat snack conversation just really deviated here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine because this is much more interesting.
You're gonna jump in with the electronics too.
That's where I was going.
The new boat's gonna have the forward facing.
Yeah,
that's exactly where I was going because I really had just thought that a lot of the struggles that you and other people that we've talked to have had. Have been because of the adoption of the forward-facing mm-hmm. sonar and mm-hmm. how much of an impact. I mean, I don't think it can be understated.
No,
how much of an impact?
It's the biggest game changer that's happened in since probably the side imaging and the mapping.
And it doesn't affect the recreational guy at all.
No.
So people, even avid fishermen, don't realize the impact and the importance and mm-hmm. how much of a game changer it's been. But at the elite level, at the higher level tournaments.
Yeah.
It's become damn near a necessity. It's almost as important as your rod and reel at this point.
Sure is. I have people tell me that's not fishing. I'm like, I'm not fishing. I'm competing.
Exactly.
So yeah.
It doesn't matter if, you know what?
If I was just fishing, that wouldn't bother me.
You can have all of the issues with that. You can be a traditionalist that's got all the problems in the world with that. And I understand that conversation. And I'm not even saying you're wrong. But the fact is it's there. And if you aren't mm-hmm. adopting it and you're not able to take advantage of that technology, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage.
And adopt it into your own style. I'm going to work it into my own style. I'm not going to be a guy that stares at it all day. But I am going to be a guy, you know, I can hit the brush pile on the first cast instead of the third. And that's efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, it's, you're just going to cut out some dead time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Mark. It's efficiency. It's efficiency in practice. I don't have to cast in there to see if they're there. I can just see that they're there and move on.
Yeah.
Mark that as a, hey, I'm coming back here tomorrow.
Yep. So we've talked about this in the past, but for people that are that have missed some of those conversations and haven't realized what a game changer this new technology, this forward-facing sonar has become, it might be hard for them to understand because we've seen technology over the years. I mean, I remember when just the average, you know, Lowrance fish finder was a big deal. You
right.
know, this, you know, just the old school fish finder was a big deal. And then we had trolling motors that were communicating with GPS, and you could, you know, the trolling motor could hold you in a place
right.
or could take you down a bank line
yep.
perfectly.
Stay on a contour line.
Yeah, yeah, without you having to touch anything, and that was a big deal. And we've got things like the poles in the back of the boat
yep.
that can anchor
shallow
you
water
quicker
anchors,
than, yeah.
yeah.
So technology having an influence on bass tournaments is not, or fishing tournaments in general, are not, it's not anything new. But this has had a bigger impact
than anything ever.
And yes, a quicker. Anything in a room. Yeah. So what is it? What is it? And again, I know we've talked about this before, so I don't need to be repetitive, but a lot of people, you know, are just learning about this. We get new listeners each and every week. What is it about this forward-facing sonar that is such a bigger leap than the other levels of technology that we've seen coming in?
Because you can see how the fish are reacting to your bait.
Yeah.
You can see your bait. You can see if they're following it. And it's made me wonder.
In real time.
In real time. It's amazing. Like, probably over the years, I've had fish following my jerk bait or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. And I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Or else they follow it all the way to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this will let me know, oh, they're following it, but they're not taking it.
Why aren't they?
Let me try a color change. Let me try a cadence change.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I shouldn't throw a jerk bait. Maybe I should throw a swim bait and swim it a little slower. And there's other times when you bring that, you bring it over the a brush pile and you'll see them. You can't see them when they're real tight in the brush pile, but you can see them come up out of there. Now you know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know, okay, they're there. I'm going to throw a jig. I'm going to throw a shaky head in there and try to get them.
And when you say you can see them following, and we've talked about how before you can like, you can pinpoint exactly if you're looking, if you're shooting at some underwater structure, you can see exactly to the inch. You know, it's exactly 12 feet and 7 inches in front of me. You know, like it, you can see, and it's exactly 4.5 feet under the water. You know, like you can see these exact things. So when you say that you can see that, what are you looking at? Is it something that you kind of that you have to look at and learn what that screen is? It's not like looking at a television screen.
No, I was just going to say, it's not a TV, but you can tell.
So explain that.
And the guy, it's a little blip, and it's going to be moving. It's going to be coming towards your bait, or it's going to be, you know, now we realize sometimes that they'll run away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, we're making it sound like it's just foolproof and easy, but it's not.
Right.
It's just, and guys will spend way too much time fishing for a fish, much like a bedding fish, that's just not going to bite.
So it can have its, negatives too, is that it can give you such a good look at what's going on down there.
You can stay there too long.
Hung up on something that's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You
come
see
back.
The fish.
Come back. Come
back. You see that there's a fish there and you're confident you can get him, but sometimes it's just not going to bite.
Right.
So having that technology almost backfires.
It can bite
because
you.
Now
it can bite you.
You're bullheaded.
But
you
it's still, so you're going to, you still have to spend time on the water like anything else and learn how to use it with your style.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried about it because my style is stubborn. I like to think I can make them bite.
Yeah. Right.
But,
right.
So I'll have to block that out, but it's the biggest game changer ever. Probably since the flasher, the old Lowrance flasher went to a, what we call a, back then it was a paper graph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the LCD now, but it just did it on paper with ink.
Yeah.
So it's the biggest change since then. And I'd say it's, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say it's 3 times, maybe even 4 times bigger than that.
Yeah.
And, and everybody that's tournament fisherman's got it. And until they put a limit on it, and there's
a limit on what? A limit on the technology?
A limit on, like, can you have 4 graphs on the front of your boat?
Oh, I see.
You know, that sort of thing. And there's going to be, mark my words, there's going to, and I think there's already been one, there's going to be tournaments where you can't use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guys, and it'll be like smoking versus non-smoking.
Right.
I always said that, you know, it's like that'll sort itself out. And the people that don't like it will go fish the tournaments that don't allow it.
Yep. Mark, do you see this in, like with the Catfish Classic or the Chasing Cat series, like is it as a big deal in catfishing as it is bass fishing?
So there is, but I also was talking just the other day, shop, one of the local guides came down, Cameron Mank, and he was talking about how in a lake, this stuff's built for lake fishing, that in the river, when you get a little bit of current,
makes
it completely distorts it, and
I
you
see.
Can't use it.
Yeah.
Because it just, he said, you can be on a spot there and you're seeing fish, you move a foot and you're in a little bit more current and it just becomes static.
So it has less to do with the species, more to do with the body of water.
The body of water. So catfishing world is probably going to have some applications on the river when it's calmer and stiller and you get off in some backwaters, but if you're out there, you know, where there's some current and that's where they're at, you're not going to be able to tell that.
Right. You know? But you might be able to get a glimpse at one, at least know he's there.
One moved out there. So
if you can see a bass, you can definitely see a 100-pound catfish.
Can you tell on the screen, like you said, it's a blip. Do you know if that blip is a bass, a crappie, a catfish?
I don't, but the guys that have been using it for a while,
they can tell what that blip is.
Yeah, they know.
Kind of like
the crappie
like
guys
reading
know.
Reading the Matrix.
Yes, they know,
they
how,
know
big
how big a crappie is, whether it's even worth messing with. Bass guys are the same way.
Yep. Right.
No, I'm not there yet by any means, but I will be, and you know, and that's time on the water, too. Those guys didn't just, it didn't click for
no,
them.
No, it just, they oh, see
they
it.
Caught, and, they yep. seen it, they caught it, and like, oh. That was this big. The yeah. next one, oh, that's this big. So yeah. that you and you can do that with your side imaging too. Yep. You know,
Eventually you put it together.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right.
you can
it's just time on yeah. the water, man. It's not like people thought with the Alabama rig. We just go out and throw it, and you put a big limit in the boat. It just doesn't work that
right,
way.
Right.
Still got to put the time in. It makes good fishermen better fishermen. It makes bad fishermen okay.
Yeah. Have you seen it at the shop yet? Like as far as just recreational guys, or is this really there? There's even recreational guys.
Yes, because they're still chasing big fish.
Yeah. You put anybody that likes to tournament fish, whether it's a club for $5 entry fees,
right.
they want to beat their buddies
because they're competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people always ask me, does the Hydro Wave work? I was like, I know it kind of works, but I know if Mark has it, I'm going to have it.
Right, right, right.
If we're
Mark's not getting a leg up on
no matter
what, right, right.
Why do you think they had to put a limit at 250 horsepower? Because we'd all have 1,000 horsepower motors if they'd let us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm
going to
get there first.
Right.
He did
sure.
show me, too, a video of, you know, his graph there of a paddlefish, and there was no doubt about what kind of fish
that
was.
Yeah.
Oh, and he goes, look.
I've not seen the screen. I'm sure I could find
YouTube's
videos.
YouTube's got all kinds of.
I haven't seen the screen in person. I've just heard you describe it. But, yeah, I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, he said, this is one we took because they were using it for paddlefish snagging mm-hmm. down there because apparently it was kind of a rough year for paddlefish snagging down there. But he goes. Here's a video one. He said it's 8 feet from the boat and it's 8 feet deep. You know, and then
foot long.
You see him basically.
Yeah, well,
see him throwing the treble hook and you see the hook at the water and a line. You see it all.
Oh my God, we talked about that, Mark, just a couple weeks ago when that world record paddlefish was caught at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah,
sonar could. I mean, it's a game changer in bass fishing already. But
game changer in any kind of fishing.
For that type of where you're dragging on the bottom and these fish that you know are pretty complacent, you just got to find them. We could see records in
because yeah, that's
like
what they said that they had a good paddlefish season on their guided trips. And he said mainly because it was with the sonar because they were able to find the paddlefish weren't where they normally were. I think he said they were deeper. Maybe they were shallow. Yeah. They had trouble finding them.
But now.
But they could go up a creek, and they're hanging out up here, which they, you know, that's not where you would normally
even bother messing with them.
No.
Right.
And he goes, but that's
maybe
where they were.
Maybe they've been there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they were.
And
yeah.
we didn't know it until we got this technology. It's absolutely amazing. We're going to get back into some fishing conversation and get you the fishing report in just a little bit here. But now it is time to change gears and go from the water out to the woods. And we're going to talk to Brandon Waddle, the founder and CEO of the Mountain Archery Fest, which is coming to town next weekend. We're going to have that conversation next on the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel.
This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Say, you can't beat the way an old boat rides.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin, professional fisherman Mike Marfell, and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors, once again, crucial in bringing another great event to the St. Louis area. And we are just a week away from the Mountain Archery Fest coming to the area. And we have Brandon Waddle, the founder and CEO of the Mountain Archery Fest, on the line with us now. Brandon, really appreciate your time this afternoon. And I would imagine pretty exciting time of year for you as you have these events touring around the country. How are you?
I'm doing great, and you're absolutely correct. We're three shoots down out of 10 so far and kind of hitting our stride. So we're super excited to be coming to Illinois for our first year and get to meet a bunch of new people and show off what we're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, we've talked about this a lot in the, you know, as we've been promoting this event coming to town, but it just, it really is awesome to see how much the archery community and just the outdoors community continues to grow here in our area.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. And, you know, just, you know, as I, you know, get more involved and just trying to bring things to the area,
yeah,
you know, and,
yeah,
you know, this is one of them, reaching out, you know, to try to get different types of things in our yeah, area, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, there's enough, you know, soccer matches and stuff like that.
There's enough soccer,
you know,
tournaments to go around. So, yeah,
you know, let's bring right, some stuff that's different, you know.
And we see time and time again, particularly the outdoor community in our area just embrace these events as they come to town. So, Brandon, right along those lines, tell folks all about the Mountain Archery Fest, what you guys are all about, and what people can, you know, experience if they come and check you out next weekend.
Well, first and foremost, Mountain Archery Fest is about family, community, and bow hunting. And we express that through 3 days of our event by providing 5 excellent world-class courses, one of which is a world records course that holds replicas of the Pope and Young world records. There's 20 targets on that course, and it's an educational course, and also it's kind of a great intermediate course, both trad friendly and compound friendly, and it's really a testament to the hunters that have taken these world records, because the longest shot is 54 yards.
Ooh.
And so it's a really awesome course.
That is awesome.
And then from there, I mean, we've got a fantasy course, which is super fun, targets that you've never seen, and then we have an exotics course. We have our Western bow hunter course, and then we have our Carbon course, which our Carbon TV sponsored course is kind of an extremely unethical course, I might say, with super hard shots, super long distance, you know, resembles kind of something you might find at Total Archery Challenge, but with our own special twist on it.
Yeah, well, you know what? The people that are, I love that, because I love the fun, like having the unique, you know, the unique courses with the unique targets and all of that. And then, you know, and I think it's really important to keep it open to the intermediate level and people that are, you know, not as advanced. But the people that are advanced, Brandon, I'm sure you see this, they want that challenge, and they probably mm-hmm. love the opportunity to challenge themselves and try to compete, you know, at a level that, you know, they don't get tested at very often.
Yeah, you know, it becomes quite the inter-group battle,
yeah,
right? You know,
yeah,
you get 6 people on in each group going out, and when they're bombing, you know, 109-yarder at a fox and they actually make foam, you know, there's some bragging rights to go to that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got courses from the fantasy course all the way up to Carbon TV, which is, starts at beginner all the way to advanced, and lots in between. So we have a lot of opportunity, no matter your age, your discipline, or your ability.
I love it. I think that is so cool. And I think that we have seen in our area, we're just talking about the growth of the outdoor community, and particularly the bow hunting community, thanks in large part to Bluff City Outdoors and bringing these events to town and having the new archery range open to shoot in every day out there at Bluff City Outdoors. And I would imagine that you're seeing this growth across the board. Is that true? Are you seeing the outdoor community, specifically the bow hunting community, more people involved year after year? And then also, like, we've seen in our area at least a lot of youth bow hunters getting involved, and a lot of females, women getting involved in the sport as well. Are you seeing that growth outside of the St. Louis area across the country?
Absolutely. We've seen an uptick in our events as far as attendance, for sure. And I can tell you that, you know, women and children, the family aspect, like I mentioned when we started, is a primary focus for us, because we're trying to give that opportunity more to those communities and to those demographics. And it is showing true that they've been waiting for it to happen. They are acknowledging that our presence is making a difference, and that they're really enjoying the product that we're bringing to the table for them. So we've seen a huge increase just in the last 2 years out of the 6 we've been doing this, but we've always had a pretty solid amount of women and children. But where I'm really noticing the difference is it is in our Bowtech bow hunter comp that we do on Saturday. So you can come and shoot for fun on every course all weekend, but we do have the competition on Saturday morning. And what I'm seeing is a mega change there in the amount of women who are competing and the amount of cubs and youth that are competing.
That's awesome. I would love to see Jeff, Mark, compete in one of those high-level tournaments.
Oh, yeah, like you said, those guys would be eating that stuff.
Yeah, that's the main, the lead Bowtech at Bluff City Outdoors. He's a monster, and I'm sure that
that's awesome.
Yeah, eating this stuff up. But, Mark, what Brandon was just saying, I mean, is exactly what we've been talking about, whether it be the Alton Catfish Classic or it be the Mountain Archery Fest. It seems like that community, that family atmosphere is what is really driving the growth in this.
People enjoy that. I mean, it's good to have, you know, events that, you know, everybody can go to, your whole family, your spouse, your children, you know, your nieces, nephews, you know, your brother, sister, you know, get them all out there, you know, take dad, you know.
Yeah, and you feel good about it. You feel like you're doing, you know, something positive, constructive with your life, with your family, with your kids.
You get out in nature.
Yes.
It's just so much better than not.
I love it.
You know, I mean, you never know when you're going to see, you know, just something totally out of the ordinary. Yeah, I mean, somebody out there, were, you know, in Campsville area, I mean, somebody's liable to just be out there shooting their course and end up seeing a bobcat or, you know, seeing a fox run, you know, just
right.
It's just good for the soul, you know, to get out.
Yeah, you can't see that stuff sitting on your couch.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the beauty of getting out and about. And there's no better way to spend your weekend than with your family. I mean, surely there's good times you can go do the boys' weekend or go do that kind of thing. But, you know, archery is a sport that everybody can do.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter if you have disabilities or limitations. Archery is achievable. And so, you know, it's one of those sports that's got a low barrier of entry financially and can really benefit your kids and your family when you do it together as a community.
So if you're looking for a great event to attend, it's this coming weekend. And I know we have people that listen to us on the podcast on different days of the week. So we're talking about the weekend of the 18th and 19th, May 18th and 19th. Brandon, for people that want to find you, want to learn more, maybe want to get tickets, want to find the location, all of that stuff, how can they get all of those details about the Mountain Archery Fest?
So you can find information at mountainarcheryfest.com, and we've got everything on there, registration, and we'll be there the 17th through the 19th.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got camping on site, food on site. We've got lots of sub events as well, other than just shooting, where we do archery tag for the family. We do stories and s'mores, where we have a guest speaker on Friday night, and we put out all the marshmallows, graham crackers, and Hershey's, and we sit around and enjoy the stories and each other. And then Saturday afternoon, of course, at 5 o'clock, we start off our cornhole tournament. And then we follow that up with a Saturday night social where we give away tons of stuff and the opportunities to win some amazing hunts and bows and lots of stuff. So mountainarcheryfest.com, all the information is there. Follow us on social media as well, on Facebook or Instagram, and we just really look forward to seeing the community come out. It's going to be an epic weekend of archery. And we're not the only archery event that weekend, so hopefully people will find the opportunity there to be able to shoot as much foam as they can get their hands
on
throughout the weekend.
Yes.
And it'll be just an excellent weekend of archery.
I love it.
Address there in Campsville? I know it's at a campground.
It's at McCauley Heritage Foundation, and let me pull that up real quick. It is 592 Crawford Creek Road.
Yeah.
It's right south of Campsville, Illinois.
Yep. And again, all those details at mountainarcheryfest.com. You can get all the information there. And I'd love to hear about the cornhole tournament because, listen, I'm no good in the archery competitions, but I could make a little noise in a cornhole tournament. So, you know, watch out.
I'll tell you what, it's $50 a team, and it's a 50-50 split pot. A 50-50 split pot. The other 50% goes to the Wolfpack Foundation. And it's just a great charity in Colorado that we've aligned ourselves with this year. and we're really looking forward to having a great time. Come out, even if you don't shoot a bow, come out and see what we got in Vendor Village. Come out and play cornhole. Come out and be a part of things, be a spectator. Even if you can't get on the courses and something like that, and you want to just come out and sight your bow in our practice range and get a shot at winning some Vortex glass or some Morel targets or, you know, anything of that nature, just stop by. We'd love to see you.
I think it's so cool. What an awesome event. Brandon Waddle, the founder and CEO of Mountain Archery Fest, looking forward to you having a great event here next week and looking forward to talking to you again soon. Really appreciate your time this afternoon, and here's to an awesome event next weekend. Have a great day.
Thank you. You guys as well.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
That was awesome. Great stuff there. Mountain Archery Fest sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun. MountainArcheryFest.com to get all of those details.
You going to team up in cornhole, Tony?
You know what, buddy? I think, you know, I'll put in my $25.
I'm not that great, but I could probably shoot.
We can, yeah.
You might want to go with Quentin. He's a little younger.
Well, maybe we can use the Freebird rule, and we can sub in and out three guys. There are only a few people out there that that got that reference, but the people that did, love it. Keep it right here. We are going to get back out on the water and bring you this week's fishing report next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Just go. We're just doing this. All right. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Sometimes you got to pay attention to what button you're hitting over there, Q.
Not all home runs, right, Tony?
They're not all home runs, baby. Sometimes you got to hit a single. That's exactly right. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. My name's Tony Colombo in the studio with producer Quentin and professional fisherman Mike Marfell and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. Going to get you that fishing report here in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that this time of year is great for all outdoor activities. We just talked to Brandon Waddle, the founder of the Mountain Archery Fest, which is coming to town next weekend. So that's a great event, great reason to get outside. Of course, it's a great time to be out there on the water, and we'll help you out with that with the fishing report. But it's also a great time to be out grilling. And next time you are doing that in the backyard, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, local, family-owned business. You're supporting a great local business. You're supporting local industry. Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country, and you are using a top product, superior product. Rockwood Lump Charcoal has been rated the number one consumer ranked charcoal 9 years in a row across the country, which is just absolutely amazing. If you've never used Rockwood Lump Charcoal before, if you're used to the traditional briquettes, one time, you'll use the Rockwood Lump Charcoal one time, and you'll never want to go back. It burns faster, it burns hotter, it burns cleaner. That's probably the biggest thing. And just gives you more control. It's just a superior grilling experience across the board. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is available in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, let's dive into this week's fishing report. Mark, take it away.
Okay, yeah, we'll head out to Truman Lake. Jordan Lear, he's got guide and a buddy out there. Crappie are fair, fish in and around the spawning pockets where the old bank line is. With the higher water levels, expect them to be a little deeper still, 10 to 20 feet. Standard timber is producing well at that depth, jigs and minnows. Catfish good, fishing the flooded fields and the back of the creeks. With the new water coming in, night crawlers cut chatter your best baits 2 to 10 feet deep. Bass, fair, fishing the back of the creeks and around the cover with spinner baits and square bill crankbaits at 2 to 10 feet. Walleye, fair, fish main lake points, pockets with the crawler harnesses and throw jigs 2 to 15 feet. White bass and hybrids good, fish the main lake points and the windblown banks 2 to 8 feet with 3-inch paddle tails and rooster tails with white and chartreuse.
Mm-hmm. Available at?
Yep, run up to Carlisle with Eric Morey, the fishing magician.
There he is.
Yep, Carlisle Lake, 447.56. And with the current conditions, the crappie are very sporadic, but they are catchable on the rocks with jigs under a small float. And he said the shad are starting to spawn on the rocks as well and has the catfish pushed up on the banks. And so they're biting really good on shad. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey again, doing well on a crappie, bass, and bluegill are all on the banks, and so there's lots of fishing opportunities around them. He said casting small curly tails with 16-ounce jig heads along the bank. Catfish bites good on cut shad, and it's also they're up on the banks too, and as they're starting to spawn. Mississippi and Missouri rivers, this is just me giving a report on everything. The rivers are running high and fast. Looks like most of the trash is cleared up, but the catfish bite is still strong. Yeah, they've been catching a lot of them on skipjack. And we'll run out to Gabe Montgomery, Southern Illinois Lakes.
Ten Horse Monty.
Water temps in the high 60s, low 70s. This is still a little stain in the creeks and some coves from the recent rains, which never seem to end. So the bass fishing has been a little tricky due to the recent spawn. The bass have moved off the beds and are in a slight funk. However, the crappie and bluegill are on the beds. And he said, look for the post-bass spawn targeting those bluegill and crappie. Swim jigs can be deadly right now. Mike?
Yeah, Lake of the Ozarks was tough last weekend for a lot of people. Fish are spawning, but with the water going up and down, Mark, and the pulling all that current, they were stressed. Trying to catch them off a bed was not easy. They would spook off. But come this weekend, if they're still pulling current, you're going to be able to get out there and catch them on the secondaries and the main lake points. Still going to be fish on the beds and around the beds, garden fry. Your best bet's going to be to get in there and throw that jig, small swim bait, wacky worm in those spawning areas. But check the current. If they're pulling current, those ones that already have spawned or post, they'll be out feeding on those main lake points in the brush piles 15 to 20 feet. But, man, the weights were so far down last weekend, Tony. It blew my mind. We had one bag at 20 pounds at Lake of the Ozarks May 4th, which is ridiculous.
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it dropped to 16th.
What would normally 20 pounds, would that even get you?
That would get you a check, for sure. You'd be in the top 10, but there would be several bags that size.
Yeah.
There'd be a 22, a 21, a 20, 20 and a half, you know. But it dropped off so fast. The fishing really was tough, and it was because of that water going up and down, and down.
That's tough on for all fishing.
Yes.
You know, just everything. It's just the fish don't know what to do.
Yes, they don't know what to do.
And
especially when they spawn.
Yes.
Especially during the spawn, it's amplified. But numbers, you could catch tons and tons of fish that weren't 15 inches. I mean, be a good time to take a kid. I got a small story here, Tony, back in a small spawning pocket, there was a unusual dock at Lake of the Ozarks, parallel to the bank with no roof, just docks, and like 15 stalls. And it was probably 6-7 feet from the bank, and I would skip through the hole, put it up on the bank. I caught a fish out of every stall.
Two of
them were keepers. I caught, and one of them was a giant that I couldn't get to play nice and come back out through that hole that broke me off on a cable back there. But the fish are biting if you get around them. They are really, really, really and I think a lot of that, Mark, was probably the male's garden. They even guard before the eggs are, they're just protecting their area.
Right.
So if you put a bait back there, they'll bite it. Finding the big ones, obviously, by those weights was very difficult. And we talked about earlier in the segment the reason I'm putting her on the trailer and calling it. I thought I had a horrible day, and then I looked.
Yeah.
I finished in 53rd place out of 185 anglers, and I had two fish die
on me.
Way above average. My trolling motor steering went out at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if you've ever tried to steer an Ultrex with just the cables, it ain't a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
It was the first harbor hop of the year, so the waves were out. So good luck with all that. But
and
I was
tough
in
conditions.
Tough conditions. Fish were stressed. Because of them being stressed and pestered, okay, on the beds, I lost two fish that died on me.
Yeah.
Those 2 pounds would have put me in 23rd place instead of 53rd.
Yeah.
And I lost.
So don't beat yourself up so bad.
I lost two fish, and looking at it, I would have been real close to second place that had 16 pounds.
Yeah.
I would have.
Wow.
By my own standards, I thought I did horrible until got home and quit pouting like a little girl and looked at the weights and realized.
Started doing the math.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're above Dennis Burhorse or Roger Fitzpatrick, any of those names down there, Tom, you're doing well.
If those two fish didn't die, you would have cashed a check.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd have cashed a check. I'd have been like four or five checks inside the check line.
Yeah.
And then if I'd have put those other two in the boat in the, I'd have been in the top five for sure, if not in second place.
Yeah.
Like I've always told you, 53rd sometimes is a lot closer to the win than the second place.
Yeah, it is.
Because he might have not had anything go wrong.
Right.
His trolling motor worked.
Yeah.
He didn't kill anything.
Nothing broke off. Nothing died.
Nothing broke off. He caught everything that bit. Had a great partner, which, you know, I've been lucky that way in these pro-am events, drawing really good dudes. So shout out to him. And yeah. It had a good time, but it's like I said, I need to reset. Yeah. I do. And I need to get my boat sold.
Well, it's going to get ugly, I think, for the competition.
Especially if I can get my butt. If I drop another, if I can drop 25 pounds or so and get myself back in shape.
Yeah.
I started doing rucks. You guys ever rucked or walked with a weighted vest?
I haven't, but I know what you're talking about.
Way different. Mine weighs 28 pounds. So it's just a plate carrier, body armor, but it's got heavy weights in it.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between it makes you realize if you lose 28 pounds, how much easier walking would be.
Yeah, I used to think that every time I'd be bringing in a 50-pound sack of dog food, I'd throw it up on my shoulder.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, I was up to 295. I'm down to 250. I've lost 45 pounds. Yeah. And, you know, my goal is to get to 200.
But that's it. You were carrying that 50-pound bag all the time.
50-pound sack of dog food everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I could tell it just walking.
So much easier.
You know, my knees don't hurt as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you're standing in the front of a bass boat all day long, knocking off 25, 30 pounds, plus getting your cardio back up and your strength back up and had a couple injuries, you know, like strained the triple biceps and then the other shoulder as soon as I got done healing that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's that's my goal.
Yeah.
Get the house remodeled, get a new boat, forward facing sonar, get in shape
and look out,
come out swinging, baby.
Ooh, ready to roll.
Yeah, for sure. You guys both sort of addressed it there in the fishing report, but I was going to ask you both about the rain impact because we saw a lot of rain this week. And Mark, we were talking last week about the junk, specifically in the Mississippi and Missouri rivers.
Yeah, it was just
all the
there was junk at Lake of the Ozarks
that
coming
was coming
too.
Down. Yeah, was that happening at the?
The first time I've ever been on Lake of the Ozarks, I was telling Mark in the break on the main channel, they were pulling 50,000 at the lake, and I could feel if I let off the trolling motor, I could feel it push my boat backwards.
No kidding.
I've never had that at Lake of the Ozarks.
No. And that just had to do with all the water that they were dumping
out of Truman.
Yeah. And then they're moving it through the lake. Yeah. So it's
anticipating all the rain we had coming these last few days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did it, as far as you've heard, Mark, from the guys on, like the fishing guides and that, has a lot of that debris flushed through, or is that still a big problem?
Like, yeah, there's not near as much as there was a week ago.
Yeah.
So it looks like now
still
got
to be safe out there, man.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be safe. Now it's running high. It's still muddy.
Yeah. It was really bad last week.
Yeah. I mean, the Mississippi.
Trees just coming down.
Right. You see a little twig sticking out, could be attached to a
30-inch
oak tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that stuff comes down. It just, it is. It's just.
It's sitting there on the bank, and then when it comes up, here it comes.
Yep. Here it comes. Yep.
How long does it take for the Lake of the Ozarks to settle back down? How long will that current last, and how long until it's...
just depends on when they decide to shut the dams.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
But if the rain's gone, I mean, I don't know what the whole week forecast looks like. I know that at least the next several days are supposed to be pretty nice, and the big storms are behind us. So if that holds, if there's not another big storm or anything, do you anticipate that they usually shut that off pretty quick and then things settle down
pretty
quick?
Yeah, it'll settle down a little bit, but they're still not at summer pool yet, so it was still 2.5 feet. From what I understand, my buddies that are locals down there, the lake came up 3 feet, went down like 1.5 feet, came up 2 feet, went down 1 foot.
Ugh.
You know, so it's doing all that.
Yeah.
And still not at full pool.
Right.
So much so like your report from Truman on the beds, some of those beds that were made before the water came up a couple feet are where you want to try to fish. They're a little deeper than what you would normally be. That being said, I seen one on a bed that had to be over 7 pounds that I couldn't get to bite. I could not get to bite. Remember our etiquette talk, Tony?
Yeah.
I was in
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. This guy was definitely a dick. I was in a tournament, same tournament he was in.
Yeah.
And I'm back in this cut that's you can't barely turn your boat around, the same one that had those docks I was telling you about. And there was not room for another. I could cast past where there was no more water where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And he come back and said, "Are you going back? Have you been back there yet?" He was going to go past me and go back there.
There was no back there.
There was no. I'm there. Yeah, I'm back there.
I'm in the back there.
I'm in the back there.
I'm he as said, back there as you can back there be.
Well, what was funny is he said, well, I had some on beds back there. I said, yeah, I know. I can see them. I'm already here.
Because I'm back there.
I'm already here. He watched me catch three keepers there, and I felt so good about myself.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad he didn't try to encroach even more at that point.
One That's other funny story.
Ridiculous.
The opposite.
Buzz off, bro.
The opposite. I was fishing an area that is spawning area, and this guy comes to me, and he looks and says, which way are you going? I say, I'm coming out. He goes, you care if I go back? I was like, no. He goes, that last dock back there had a nice one on the bed on the corner. I was like, she's gone. Either somebody's caught her or she's moved off. And a few minutes go by, he comes idling back by, and he goes, she gone? And I was like,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, he said, I should have listened to you, and I would have saved myself some time. I was like, dude, I don't always listen to me.
Right.
So, that's how it should be
handled.
That's
the way it should be, not the first one.
Yeah, and I had three positive experiences just like that guy, but one dick story.
Right. You
know, and really aggressive moving in, like.
Yeah, that's
especially
ridiculous.
When he seen me start catching him and putting him in the live wheel, he kept moving closer and closer.
Yeah, like he's going to go through there.
But that where he was wanting to go was where that seven, what I think was 7 pounds. Right. It's hard to tell, but.
Right. We only have like a minute left here, just real quick. I haven't seen him in my house, but I have friends that are seeing the cicadas in their yards, climbing up the trees. So
gather them up, guys, and go to your pond and bass fishing with them.
Right? Yeah.
You will slaughter bass.
You seen cicadas?
I haven't seen any yet.
Any at your house yet, Mark?
Haven't seen them yet.
I think it's going to be happening. I've got friends in the area that they've sent me pictures of these cicadas just popping up.
My buddy in Nashville's seeing them already.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, and that's going to have some impact. Like you said,
well, if you want to catch bass on a pond.
They start showing up. My wife, Felicia, she'll see them because she'll see a bug. See it over there?
From 5 miles out?
Yes. Oh, where? She says, that it's out there on that leaf. I go, that leaf's like 25 yards over there. Yeah, can't you see it?
That's great. It's a great time to be outside, great time to be out on the water. Make sure you prepare for your next trip to the great outdoors by visiting Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there on Broadway. Bluff City Outdoors open 7 days a week. Make sure you check them out and follow them on the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show. For producer Quentin and Mike Marfell and my partner Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
And filling up coolers with a Mapco buzz. We could run wild in riverbank mud, catch a little shade from the southern heat sun. I